Accession number 27268, Mr. Dennis Reed, Reel 10. Now, you were at Chatham for quite some time, as you've said, acting as a rear rank instructor. You also did your NCO's course at Deal, didn't you, during this period? It's before the war ended, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you remember of that course at Deal? What do you remember of the course at Deal?
It was very, very strict. It was very, very what you would expect the Marines training to be. I went through, and what happened down there briefly, I mean, I'm going from memory now, going of a morning, you one member of the class will be called out to take the parade. No one, the adjutant would then, at that precise moment, say, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, we'll take the parade. His job would then, he would go up to where the adjutant stood on the dais. He would then give all the orders. His first order would be markers. On that order, the markers would march out onto the parade to a pre-allocated position. Right. When he was satisfied they were all there, he would then say, parade, onto your markers, quick march. Then the whole parade would then form up. He would then get the parade. Then his job would be, he would then go to the adjutant and report to him, parade formed up, all correct, ready for your inspection, sir. Then the adjutant, if he wanted to, he would then do a quick walk around, because bear in mind, there would be about upwards of 200 to 300 men on parade in various squads. After his inspection, he would then come back to where the person taking the parade, I have inspected your parade. Now, I do know those words. I have inspected your parade. They have met with my admiration. Please carry on. Now, that is marvellous when you get an adjutant in the Royal Marines saying that to a student. Anyway, that was it. Then he would then call the parade to attention and give the order. Bearing in mind you had the band there as well, he would then give the order, retire in threes from the right, and such a squad leading. Right, that was that. He would then give the order, quick march. The band would strike up, and then the parade would then march off to their various classes.
Now, what were you learning in those classes?
What were we learning? A hell of a lot. First and foremost, you was learning to be an NCO. You didn't have to learn to be smart in appearance, because that comes automatically. You went through map reading. No naval gunnery or things like that. Map reading, how to take a squad, how to drill a squad. We did have instructions in small arms up to the Vickers machine gun, nothing else bigger than that. There's one case there which has stuck in my mind, and that doing what I just said about one member being called out to do that, he was a corporal. And I remember distinctly, he called the parade up and he gave the orders, on your markers, quick march. And it was a right shambles. He gave the order, immediately gave the order, halt. About turn, go back. He then done it again, and he done it so well that he was immediately passed and made up to the sergeant on his initiative, that he had the sense or the knowledge to call the parade to a halt, send them back off parade, and bring them back on again in a smart, orderly manner. He got made up to a sergeant. What makes me very pleased, at the whole of that episode, with all the classes there, there was only three. You get awarded points, how good you were or how bad you were. There was only three members in the whole of that incident that got distinguished. I happened to be one of them. And that is on my parchment, that I was awarded a distinguish, which is quite an achievement, to say the least. With that, in as many words, they said, well, Ted, I hope you enjoyed your stay at Dill. Glad to see the back of you, in as many words. But when I got back to Chatham Barracks, they had already been pre-warned or told of my distinction, and I was very, very warmly received, because I can put it this way, it wasn't, say, only me that got the distinction. It was a member of the Chatham Division that got it. So it went on the records that on such and such a date, and I've forgotten that, on such and such a date, a member of such a class was awarded a distinguished. So that more or less clued up my episode in Chatham Barracks. Did I mention, I don't think I did, talking to Chatham Barracks, the sleeping arrangements of a night time?
No. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, in Chatham Barracks, they had what was known as the tunnel. Principally, they were there for air raids. And what they were at the top of the parade. You had an entrance, and you went down these spiral stairs, quite a depth. And then you come to what was known as the tunnels. And they were quite a few tunnels, and they had a bench on them. They had a few hooks that you could hang your hammock up, if you were lucky enough. And you had to go down there of a night time. When they sounded, you know, lights out, you had to go down in the tunnels to sleep. Now, if you can imagine what those tunnels were like, with upwards of 500-600 men down there, the only aeration you had was fans that blew the air through. The toilets were just very, very large buckets, no flush toilets at all, and people would do anything rather than go down there. They would find a little corner somewhere in the barracks where they could sleep. I've done that a few times myself. But whether those tunnels are still there now, I don't know. I just don't know.
Now, you were kept at Chatham till the end of the war. You didn't get another ship posting at that time.
I didn't get another ocean-going ship, but I did get drafted to the under orders for the Superb. I spent a little time on Bulwark. Yeah, those two.
And when was that, before or after the war had finished?
Give or take, when the war was finishing. And the other one was the Cardiff. Cardiff, Superb. I spent just a little bit of time on them.
You don't remember much about them, though?
No, nothing at all. I was just a passenger, more or less. That's all.
So can you, well, is that the end of your time with it? I mean, what happens next then?
When they shut Chatham down, I was given the option. I could either go to Portsmouth or I could join the RMFVR, Royal Marine Forces Volunteer Reserve, which I did do.
So when did you leave the Navy then, or the Marines?
That would be on my parchment. I'm not going to guess because, I mean, after such a while, I mean, dates get confusing to say the least. Division as a corporal on the 31st of May 44. I then went on leave, you won't believe it, to the 7th of March. No, that's impossible. I joined Chatham Division 31st of May 44, and I was in Chatham Division to the 7th of March 46. Then I was released in Class A.
So that's when you were demobilised?
7th of March 46.
And all that time was spent at Chatham. Now, so what did you do when you went back out into civilian life?
I think I enjoyed about 3-4 weeks, like leave. And, you know, I got a civilian job as a model maker.
What type of model maker?
Well, I'm not being funny when I say making models, mainly ships, believe it or not.
Who for?
I wonder how many people could do this. Keystone Knitting Mills. British National Films, A&D Services.
So for film? For film.
No, that is A&D Services Model Maker. We very much regret having to dispense with the services of Mr. D.A. Reed, blah, blah, blah. That was that. And then from there...
So that got you back into civilian life. You did that for a few years, did you, model making?
3.5 years.
Right. Now, the other thing we're interested in is your Royal Naval Association things, because that's, you know, when did you join the Royal Naval Association? Why is it important to you?
Well, first of all, I first joined the Royal Marines Association when they first formed in 1947. I still have my original membership book in my desk, and that was in Talbot Square, London. And I'm very proud of the fact Louis Mountbatten came down there and had a nice get together. I obtained his autograph, which I still got, and then that was it. That was the Royal Marine Association. I was with them for quite a number of years. I then left them because the journey was getting too much, really, going from here to there. I then became an insurance agent, and one of my clients, Dennis Richardson, was a member of the RNA. He encouraged me to join, which I did so. In the meanwhile, they opened a branch of the Royal Marine Association at Welling Garden City. I joined them. I finished up. I've been their chairman I was their chairman for 4 or 5 years. I am now the official standard bearer for both the RNA, Boreham Wood, and the Royal Marine Association, Welling Garden City. And that's taking care of all the other
And what does a standard bearer actually do, other than obviously, you know, what are your duties in that role?
Well, don't think for a minute I'm being facetious about it, but obviously he carries the standard. He officiates at all funerals, be it a former member of the Royal Navy or a former member of the Royal Marines. They die, and then it is my privilege to carry the standard at their funeral. We always head the cortege, be it one, as many standards that like to come. Normally, when I do one here, I get the there'll be the Royal Naval Association, Boreham Wood, Watford, Luton, Letchworth. Now, there's four standards that we always go together. Some are more pleasant than others. I mean, at a funeral, you lead the cortege into the chapel. You then stand there. That is the hardest part. You stand there with the standard. And then at the right psychological moment, you more or less get the gist off the vicar or whoever, and the curtains start to close slowly. You know the cremation when the curtains close. Well, then you then dip the standard. You then dip it down onto the floor, and then you stand there. They then sound the last post. Quite an emotional moment, really. And you stand there at the dip until the last post, and then the curtains will have shut. Then after a 1 or 2 minute silence, the bugler will then sound reveille. You come up to the slope, and then that is it. We did have a very, very large one last year. A captain of the Royal Marines, he was vice president of the Royal Naval Association. He died. Heaven forbid, I've forgotten his name at the moment, but I've got all the history of it. And he was cremated at Porchester, just outside Pompey. And there were so many people that you could not get one standard inside the chapel. And there was upwards of, 30 or 40 standards. It was quite a turnout. As a matter of interest, I've got one ceremony to go to next Sunday. It's the local church down the bottom. The vicar there, a lady vicar, she is doing a special service for sea service. And I should be taking our standard, the Royal Naval Association standard, there. I believe Watford will also be there. I don't know what the service will entail. I just don't know. The last one of all was at the VE. The British Legion had a parade down the village. They had about 8 standards there. Ours was amongst them. So basically, that is the role of a standard bearer. He will take up, they lead the parade. We had another big one last year when we dedicated a new standard. We had a new standard for the Royal Naval Boreham Wood branch. That necessitated a parade through Boreham Wood. We had the band there. Unfortunately, not the Marines band. It was a good band. It was the local Scouts band. They were very good indeed. The march was about a mile there to the station road where we formed in. Station road, there's, you know, where the cars are. Marched down to the cenotaph, as we call it, the war memorial. We had a service there. Then marched all the way up to the church and had a service in there. briefly what the standard has to do at a dedication. All the other standards would then form up down the centre aisle, and then the new standard, the old and the old standard, would then march down the aisle to the altar. The vicar would be standing there. The old standard is then, after the vicar says his words, is then given to the vicar, and he will lay it on the altar. The new standard, after his words, is given to the vicar, and he will lay it there, and then it goes on. At the end, he does say, yes, we will dedicate. If this was visual, I mean, I've got the programs there, but that is basically all it is. It's a very, very proud thing to be a standard bearer. It can be very, very, at times, you can get soaking wet, cold if you wish. Wet is the worst thing because those poles, they are about upwards to 9-10 foot long, and the standard itself is a very, very heavy one, that I can guarantee. And if that gets wet, you know you've got it. I was very, very thankful for some lady when we done a service from the village down to the memorial. It was raining. And when it's raining and you do the dip, you don't go down onto the floor. You carry it horizontal. And when you get it horizontal with a wet standard, you know you've got it. And without me, I couldn't stop it. My one was slowly dropping down, amongst the others as well. Well, then a lady in front of me, she was a commissioner in the Scouts or something or other, she turned around and she says, I know how you're feeling, Royal, she said. And what she done, she was only a short lady, what she done, my standard was level with her shoulder, dropping and dropping. What she done, she held the stick, as we call it, so it wouldn't go no more. I appreciated that no end. That was that. Now, this is the other one. You see, I joined the London RMFVR, 8th of Feb, 49. Very, very pleased to say, efficiency, satisfactory, with all superior. Yeah, you must think I'm a big head.
So this is your service with the Royal Naval Volunteers, Royal Marines Forces Voluntary.
Where did I serve? These are the papers one would get. That is when I went here.
There's no point because I can't see him.
I'm just reading the thing. Sergeant weekend and continuous training. That was April 54. That is where you done continuous training, you know.
Training sessions. Training sessions.
They're all here. Yeah, 56, 56, 54, 54. Royal Marine Forces, Class A. That is when we used to meet at the Honourable Artillery Company, Finsbury Park, down by Old Street, if you... That is where we used to meet. See, apart from that, nothing really. Order for release from Naval Service Class A for men, D.E. Reed, 5th of March, 46.
That's your D-Mob.
Yeah, that's me, Dean Bob.
Okay, well, that about covers it. Well, thank you very much indeed.